SBS στα ελληνικά.
Έχουμε κοντά μας την Ευδοκία Σύφη που θα μας μιλήσει σήμερα για την ιστορία της ζωής της λίγο πολύ. Θα μας πει τι της συνέβη πριν 20 χρόνια. Ευδοκία, καλημέρα.
Καλημέρα.
Πόσα ελληνικά θυμάσαι?
Not very much.
Ωραία λοιπόν, δεν θα σε παιδέψουμε. Eva Sifis, if you don't mind, I would like to call you with your Greek name, Evdokia.
Yes, I love it.
First of all, welcome to SBS Radio, the Greek language program. Καλώς ήρθες στο ελληνικό πρόγραμμα της SBS. I understand you have a very interesting story to tell, because 20 years ago, you had an accident, and that changed your life. And fast forward, many years after that accident, you created your own business called By Accident.
Yes.
Coincidentally. But let's start from the beginning. You had a very serious car accident.
In 1999, so actually it was 19 years ago.
19 years ago, okay. Well, coming up to 20 years.
Yes, it is.
So 19 years ago, what happened to you?
19 years ago, I had been a performer, a cabaret performer in Japan. I had completed 4 contracts over in Japan and lived there for over a year. Then I had come to Melbourne when my last contract ended, and I was madly looking for another chance to get overseas so I could perform overseas again. And I passed an audition, and I was going to be going to China with a group of 4 other people to be pop stars. And I was headed back home to go pick up my costumes, because I used to work at the place called Metro on Bourke Street. I used to dance on stage. So I was heading home to pick up my costumes. And as I crossed Nepean Highway at 7 p.m. at night, slightly rainy night, I got hit by a car, carried on the bonnet for 40 metres and then flung off to land on my face, basically, or on the top of my head. And that was the end of that life and the beginning of a whole new one.
You survived.
Yes, I survived.
It was a very serious accident, wasn't it?
Extremely serious.
What happened to you immediately after that accident?
I was in a coma for a month. My parents came over from Adelaide, because that's my hometown, and when I came out of the coma, the medical professionals were saying that I could go back to Adelaide, but my parents had done their research and found out that the best rehabilitation for people with brain injuries in Australia was in Melbourne, so they decided to keep me here, and my father packed up his business and moved over to Melbourne in order to take care of me. But I was an inpatient in Epworth Hospital for 4 months after the coma of 1 month. I had broken my tibia and fibula on my right leg, so my right calf.
Okay.
My right calf had been snapped. And
The bone.
Mm-hmm. They had placed a rod into my leg. And I had fractured my right orbital, the right eye socket, basically, when I hit the ground. And because of that, I bruised my brain from the frontal lobes extending onto the right side of my brain. So that's where the brain injury was. And it was quite serious. I was the coma scale, I was 4. The coma scale runs from 0 to 15. 15 is conscious, 0 is basically dead. So I was 4. So I was very, very seriously in... damaged.
And I can imagine you wouldn't have had many chances to recover.
Well, the only thing that was going to get me better was the amazing post-injury care here in Melbourne, and my own determination, basically. So I was told that I wouldn't walk again, and basically straight away in my head it was like, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to prove them wrong. Just watch me. And within 4 months, I was running before I could walk. Because
how did you manage that?
Because there was a running program taught at Epworth Hospital. And the motion of running in my brain, I used to say to myself, I'm falling, I've got to catch myself, I'm falling, I've got to catch myself. And that's how I began the running motion. So I could run better than I could walk. It was
And let me say here that you're actually walking very, very well, unassisted completely. I was watching you climbing the stairs as we were coming to the studio, and I was admiring secretly, but now I can say it. So it is quite amazing.
Yes.
For people like me who have only read in books or seen in movies, to hear the story, we can imagine, but we can't actually comprehend. We can't comprehend. So it is great that you can bring us these pictures to us, so that we can understand better what happens to people like you who sustain really serious, you know, life-threatening injuries and brain injuries as well.
Yeah.
Which is also, so you had multiple serious injuries that you had to deal with.
I did.
And you had to recover.
But I do need to say that the rehabilitation hasn't stopped. I still go to the gym. I still do Pilates classes. I still do exercises every morning.
What's going to happen if you give up this discipline?
If I give up this discipline, then I'll fall over. And I'm talking literally, I'll start falling over again. I used to fall over quite often. Now I barely ever do. But if I stop the discipline, then my physicality goes backwards. So it's important to maintain.
Let's go back to the thread of the story. Mm. Pick up from when you left after the rehabilitation, after the 4 months as an inpatient in Epworth. Mm-hmm. What happened when you went home?
Well, I went back to the flat that I had been living in before the injury. My father was living there now. So it was my father and me in a 2-bedroom flat in Elwood. I was in a wheelchair for the first few months of moving back to Elwood. And I would do outpatient rehabilitation. So I would see a neurophysiotherapist.
How long did that last?
Well, it lasted for as long as I lasted here in Melbourne. So I was here until January 2001. I was hit in May 1999. About September, October of 2000, my father started driving me crazy again, which in my mind told me that I was getting better and that the time was nigh to move back to Adelaide so I could move away from my father and my family and learn to be, at that time, I had to learn to be 25 years old.
But your family is in Adelaide.
Yes, my family is in Adelaide.
Your father moved to Melbourne to help you recover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you moved back to Adelaide. Yes. What happened to your dad? Did he follow?
Dad came.
Okay, so you didn't get much reprieve from your dad.
Well, no. But at least I was able to move away. At least I was able to move into my own home,
live independently.
Yes, so my family was back together. Mum and dad were back together again.
And you had your own little house,
yes.
And you were living there,
yes,
independently.
Yes.
Okay, now describe what happened to you when you started walking again, because living independently is one thing, but being independent as a person,
yes,
it's a different thing.
Yes, yes.
And apart from all the physical injuries, you actually had to deal with the psychological side of things.
Psychological things.
Because your career came to an end. Mm. You were a dancer. You were a cabaret performer.
My entire
identity. That's quite demanding work, really. Mm. If anyone has watched any cabaret show, which some of them are quite fantastic, but quite physically demanding, I can imagine. So tell us about the psychological side of things.
I was very sad, very angry for a long time, many, many, many years.
With what?
I was angry
with
that,
life?
That my entire life had been, my carpet had been flung out from underneath me, and all of a sudden I was floating in the air. I couldn't put my feet on the ground. I'm talking metaphorically here, because I went from being a performer relatively at the top of their game, and then all of a sudden I had to learn to walk again. I couldn't dance anymore. I couldn't get
all
up on stage.
You were disabled.
Exactly. All of a sudden, I had my very own disability. I used to rail against that word for a long time too, until I became aware of the social model of disability, which tells us that we are disabled by our society and the built environments around us and the attitudes around us. We're not disabled by our bodies. We're disabled by society. So in that, I can proudly call myself a proud disabled woman.
Mm. So you found actually freedom in that.
Oh, yes.
That
yes.
gave you the freedom to break away from that box that you found yourself in.
Yes, precisely, precisely. Yes, I often say that I used to have, I'm going to use that metaphor that you just used, the box. I used to say that I used to have to get the Eva that existed before the injury, put her in a box, tie it up with twine, and put it back there in my past, because she wasn't me anymore. I was a brand new person, and that's also another part of my business name. So it's by accident a new you.
So let's get to the employment part of your life, because I understand this is quite big. But before we get to that, one question. Do you dance now?
Dance for me still holds a lot of grief. I still have this terrible habit of comparing myself with the Eva that existed before. It's very difficult to remove myself from the Eva that existed before. So I can dance, I can wiggle my hips, I can move my arms, I can look probably pretty, in inverted commas, normal. But for me, I don't feel it. But again, on my website, there is a video of a performance that I put on at La Mama Theatre, the original La Mama, before there was a fire in 2014. The show is called Embryonic Zombie Butterfly, because that's how I see myself.
Embryonic zombie butterfly.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I like
it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. But the
why
concept.
Why zombie, Eva? Why zombie?
Because I returned from the dead. And embryonic because I'm
you
still
can be
in
an
a.
Angel,
I'm still,
though.
Yeah.
You're drawn to the dark side.
Yeah, I am.
Talking about dancing, do you dance any Greek dances?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually went to the Siatistanor, the celebration of Siatista, which is the village that my mother's parents are from, Siatista in the north of Greece.
Where is your dad from?
My dad is from Kos.
Okay.
Mm,
and
yes.
Both your parents were born here?
No, dad was born in Kos, mum was born here.
Okay.
But she was
so
the first
you
born.
Went to Siatista in Greece?
Oh no,
or
no,
here?
No, no, no. It was here. There was okay. there was a celebration, and there was a band that came out from Siatista and played in it was amazing. It was brilliant. And
did you dance?
And I danced. And
so you know Greek dances?
Yeah, of course. I did Greek dancing when I was very young. I belonged to the Grecian maidens. We would open the Glendi Greek Festival in Adelaide when I was very young. I love Greek dancing. And when I went to that Siatistanor celebration and I did the dancing with my mum, I actually realised how perfect Greek dancing is for people that have brain injuries, because you're supported on either side and they're very simple sequences of steps that you can teach.
You can repeat.
Yeah, and you repeat them.
Yes.
It's perfect for brain injury. I was born into the
That's amazing. I've never heard of this one before.
Neither have I. because I've
It is fascinating. It is amazing to hear you say that. I have never thought about this before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that was what I realized when I went to that.
So, do you get to do any Greek dancing?
No, not really. But I, I open myself up to whatever opportunities I can to Greek culture here in Melbourne, but I don't really have many connections in the Greek.
So how long did you stay in Adelaide before you moved back to Melbourne?
I stayed in Adelaide for 10 years.
10 years. Away from mum and dad. No, living independently.
Yes, living independently, but still in Adelaide and still being close to my family, my extended family, my cousins, my aunties.
So in these 10 years, Eva, were they dedicated exclusively to your recovery, or were you able to do studies or work on other things?
I did.
Because you're a businesswoman now.
I did many, 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 many things during those 10 years. I concentrated primarily on my physical self, getting myself up and going and walking and being as stable as possible on my feet. Then I started looking outside the square of Western medicine, because Western medicine is fantastic for acute situations, in my experience, fantastic for acute situations. But when it comes to well-being and living well and finding different ways that you can support your well-being, it's better to look outside the square of Western medicine. So I looked into body work, I looked into meditation, I looked into holistic wellness, I looked into reflexology. I studied many of these things.
So, and having your family close to you actually helped with that process,
yes.
I can imagine.
Yes, it did.
I neglected to ask you, how old were you when the accident happened?
When the accident happened, I had just turned 23.
Very, very young.
Young. At least I'd had life before, though. I'm very, very glad that had life before.
It's in the past. Let's come to the future. We're getting closer to, by accident,
yes,
your business.
Yep.
So 10 years in Adelaide, then you came back to Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Why did you come back to Melbourne?
When I was in Adelaide, I was concentrating on my physical rehabilitation, but I was also involving myself in disability arts, the sector disability arts, because it makes sense. I was an artist and I had a disability. So I started off with Arts Access South Australia and gradually got to the point where I was producing my own workshops. And I had a workshop named Roll Up, Roll Up, which was a series of workshops for integrated classes of disabled and non-disabled students to learn circus skills. And this was going to run in the Dream Big International Youth Arts Festival in Adelaide. However, I kept on getting sick. I was getting sicker and sicker, and I just didn't know what was going on. And I ended up having cancer, and I had a tumour from my larynx to the top of my liver, and it was a huge tumour, and it was Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it was close to stage four, if they could have measured it. And I ended up having to have 6 months of chemotherapy. But I also countered the chemotherapy by many natural therapies. So I saw a naturopath and I took something to alkalize my blood, drank a Chinese tea.
Let's not get into the details we're getting a bit technical here.
Yes.
So you were dealing with all the injuries, the rehabilitation, and then you got cancer.
And then I got cancer, yes.
And you recovered from that.
And I recovered from that, yes, I did.
What happened after you recovered from cancer?
After cancer.
When you were here in Melbourne, that happened?
I had cancer in 2009. I stayed in Adelaide for one more year after that.
Okay.
And then I moved to Melbourne. I gave myself the ultimate Valentine's Day present, and in 2011, February the 14th, I moved to Melbourne and gave myself a life. So coming here to Melbourne, I became involved with community arts, and with the city of Port Phillip, and slowly worked my way up, and also with Arts Access Victoria. I was an associate director of the Other Film Festival in 2012. I've always maintained my connection with Arts Access, the body. There's Arts Access Australia, so Arts Access South Australia, Arts Access Victoria, two different companies, but still the same ethos. So I work with Arts Access Victoria now. I run the two scholarship programs that they run throughout the year, and I also utilize Arts Access building as my basis for building By Accident.
Let's talk about By Accident. How did this business By Accident come about? And why did you call it by accident?
Well, how did I have my accident? How did I get my injury? I got my injury by accident. And I think that concept encapsulates this experience so well, because accidents happen. Nobody intends for these things to happen. They happen by accident, don't they?
Correct.
So,
but a business doesn't happen by accident.
No, but this no way. This is a very, very dedicated process that I'm going through.
So, what is by accident? Okay.
So, by accident is the culmination of all my learnings over the years and all different ways that I've used to function better. So, I share tools, tips, and strategies that I have gleaned over my time with other people that have brain injuries to help them on their journey. So I cover things like meditation, breath work, ways to get back into society, ways to spend your time, the importance of volunteering, how to look to creating a life for yourself again.
How is it for a disabled, in inverted commas, woman? And I'm saying in inverted commas because you don't look disabled at all. How is it for a person like you to grow a business? It's okay to start it, but what happens after that?
You need to build
the momentum. You need to sustain the momentum. Yes. You have to make connections. Mm. It's a lot of work. It's quite demanding, really.
It is. Luckily, I like people.
And by the sounds of it, you like challenges as well.
Yeah. It's about what life's about, isn't it? We come to this existence with lessons to learn, and I am learning my lessons.
So can you give us an example of what do you do through your business for people with a disability or
brain injury?
Yeah,
I have a series of trainings or workshops. There are three in total. The first one is called So Your World Has Changed Forever, Now What? And in it I introduce topics and I introduce subjects. The second workshop is called Shifted Perspectives, and that talks about how all of a sudden we're looking at the world from a different angle now. And the third workshop is called The Road Ahead, or The Way Ahead, or A Way Ahead. And, of course, that's looking at how we move on from this and how we step forward in our lives from this experience. And I'm intending to build another workshop for people, for supporters and family and carers of people that have brain injuries, because I feel like they're a forgotten population. Their lives have been affected just as drastically as the person who's had the injury, and yet there's not enough, I don't believe there's enough recognition or support around for them. I'd like to utilize my parents' wealth of knowledge and build a workshop for people who are supporting a person with a brain injury. And I'd also like to, I'm also going to make an expression or an arts workshop, because in my experience, many people after brain injury find the worth of the arts, because the arts enable us to inhabit whatever shape of body we want to.
During our conversation, the expression of brain injury came up a few times. What is brain injury?
Brain injury. I think even though it is an injury that's suffered by 2% of the Australian population, it's an injury that isn't recognised by and large, or isn't focused on by and large. And I really believe this is because there is no way to predict how a brain injury is going to affect a person. My brain injury, even though it was in the same place as a close friend of mine, our physicalities, the way that it has affected us is completely different. So a brain injury is damage to the brain. It can be mild, which is just a knock and maybe a loss of consciousness, or it can be severe, where the loss of consciousness can stretch over some time. There are a whole heap of different, what is brain injury? Brain injury is damage to the brain.
I guess what I'm getting at is, do you recover? Do you feel you have recovered? Or it is something that it's there and you just manage it? It's just another condition that you manage it.
Well, as I said, there are many, many different manifestations of how the brain injury can...
Your experience.
I'm extremely lucky in the fact that I haven't had to deal with pain. Many people I know have to deal with headaches, pain, disabilities. Yeah, I haven't had to deal with the pain, really. I've had to deal with loss of physical capability and cognitive function. So I've worked very hard to get myself back to where I am now. Worked very, very hard and very ceaselessly, really. It's been 24/7. That's what I say. I may not have been to university, but I have a doctorate in getting better. It's been 24/7 for 19 and a half years.
Can I ask you, how has this accident you had and the injuries you sustained because of that accident impacted on your personal life and your relationships?
I had hundreds of friends, in inverted commas, before the injury. I was working in the nightclubs. I was dressed in not very much. I was dancing on stage. I was drinking. I was the life of the party. And then all of a sudden, I was, dare I say, in nappies and lying down on a bed, not able to sit up. That you couldn't get much, much different. You couldn't get two realities much different than that. I lost basically all of my friends. I lost relationships with some of my family even. It's been difficult because brain injury is something that doesn't go away. It's not something that you can say, I'm healed. Brain injury is my new reality.
What are your dreams for the future, apart from taking up Greek dancing again?
My dreams for the future are to get, by accident, recognised nationally, maybe even globally. This is something that is needed in our society and in our cohort of brain injured people. We desperately need to come together and to realise that we have each other, because many people, by accident, is necessary to raise the awareness of brain injury in society also. For such a drastic and severe injury to be swept under the carpet is a travesty.
As a conclusion to this discussion, what would you say to people who are struggling one way or another with some sort of disability, with some sort of injury?
I think the most important thing to do if you are struggling with anything is to reach out to people and to involve yourself in your community, because that is where you will find support and you will find affirmations and you will find validation of yourself and your worth.
If you were going to write a book based on your experiences, what would you call it?
Yeah, by accident would have to be.
Okay, then.
Would have to be the title or in the title. And my website is www.byaccident.com.au. Check it out, and check out under the news tab. I will be leading a training of by accident, the series at Epworth Hospital in the coming months.
Απολαύστε περισσότερα θέματα στη γλώσσα σας. Επισκεφτείτε την ιστοσελίδα sbs.com.au/Greek.